All right. Is it going to be that kind of morning?
It is. Okay. This is great. Entirely so we can get this recording on, this introduction on recording. My fourth introduction of Bob Thompson this morning. All right. Bob Thompson is probably the most gracious man in the world. And in so many cases, giving the shirt off your back is a figure of speech. It is an idiom. It is a euphemism. Not so with Bob Thompson.
I forgot that.
Bob Thompson actually has a literal hermeneutic, which I always appreciate. And I still have the shirt that Bob Thompson literally gave me off his back in the parking lot of the old building over there on Woodrow Avenue. Have it to this day. Took it with me to the Philippines when Cliff and Bob and I went over there and did that. In any event, Bob is graciously stepping in to deliver the message that Drew and I were talking about weeks and months ago, related to our topic, related to Romans 6:17, pertaining to that form of teaching to which we are committed, and specifically from a missionary perspective, that missionary standpoint. So, Bob, bring us the word this morning.
Good morning. I'd forgot that, Bob, that I did give you a shirt. He was going to go on a mission trip, and I wanted him to have a VMI shirt. So, yeah, I had one. It was on me. So I gave it to Bob. Sorry you had to wash it, Bob. let's start with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Thank you for a day that you're in control of, a day that you've made. Thank you for this church and what it means to this community, to the world. My gosh, because of this church, the word has been spread throughout the world. And we appreciate what this church is doing today. We appreciate this conference, and we're just honored to be here to be part of this. And thank you for loving us and always taking care of us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. If I do this, you guys will understand. We've got a baseball player in the audience. He's a lefty. And so if I do this, it means I'm bringing in my lefty, okay? So get ready, AJ. Go to the pen. Romans 6:17 talks about the form of our training. We've all been trained doctrinally. I think everybody in this room is in the same boat. What do we do with that training? That's what I'm going to talk about. How do we use the tools that we learn through Bible doctrine, through theme, through Ralph, through Emil, through Hugh, through whoever your background is? How do we utilize that into actions, put our feet to work, and make life go on? What do we do? How do we do it? What works? What doesn't work? So I thought that what I would do is just, I'd go through what we do at VMI and tell you what works over in different parts of the world. Because, see, in Austin, Texas, we have freedom. We have the freedom to come in here, sit down, and not get accosted. We can carry our Bible in. No one's going to say anything bad about us. But there's places in the world where if you carry one of these, you can get put in jail. So how does it work? How do you take the gospel to those kind of people? How do you take doctrine to those kind of people? That's what I want to talk about. You know, so I know if you came here expecting Hugh, or if you came here expecting Drew Freeman, I'm sorry, you've got me, and I'll never replace Drew. I mean, don't even think that. But I just want to tell you a few of the things that we've done to help us get doctrine into the hands of people all over the world. Let me figure out how to work this machine here. Yeah, well, Ooh. Oh, I should have done this. I'm sorry, Bob. Okay. So what we decided we would do is just take the gospel, the biblical doctrine. What does that really mean? Training, figuring out what the Bible says. How do you get it to people? How do you get that doctrine that we've been pounded into us? How many times have we gone through doctrines? Once, twice, three times, 20 times, 50 times? It's taken us those times to get it. Well, sometimes it does that when you go overseas also. But we target villages. We target large cities or remote cities. Some of them are large. I was in Derg, India, small city, 800,000 people. Okay, so they don't have one pavement. It's all dirt roads. So you know, small cities. Our mission, the Great Commission. What's it say? Who was it yesterday talked about memorizing verses? What is Matthew 28? Matthew 28. What does it say here? Does anyone know what verse 19 says? Somebody's starting to say, "Go, ye therefore, and teach all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." So we're commanded to go. So out of the doctrine that guys like Hugh and Emil and John and Ralph and everybody's been talking about and Bob, what are we supposed to do with that? Are we supposed to sit on our behinds and just do nothing? So I think that what we're supposed to do is we're supposed to command, go, G-O. So we started a VMI. We are 501c3. 85% of all of our money that we receive goes to the field. What we found when we go overseas is that many people go to a field, then they leave, and they never return. And you know what that does to people? Puts doubt. Okay, so they learn about salvation. They learn a great truth. Maybe John or Bob has gone over, Hugh's gone over. Maybe they go over and they teach a great truth. But if they don't allow that to be replicated, people get doubt. They sin. People tell them, "Hey, they're a sinner now. You know, what good are they?" They get confused and they start having problems. So what we've decided is we have to be there. We have to not only go, but we have to continue to have a presence there. So we try to train local people in how to live Bible doctrine. You know, I know Bob, all the pastors here teach, and what they're really teaching us as people who sit in the pews is, how do we live? What are we supposed to do? How are we going to get from Sunday to Tuesday? Wow, then you've got just a short day till Wednesday when you've got prayer meeting. And then you go on Thursday and maybe Friday. But man, that's a long stretch till Sunday to hear the pastor again. So you've got to have something in there so that you can continue to go live your life. In 1991, a guy by the name of Matthias Audi bought an audio tape on the black market. He bought it because he was on tape over and put music on it. He loved music. And he listened to it. And he disagreed with it. He thought, that's crazy. Why do you have to believe in Jesus Christ? That's not right. So he wrote, the author, a guy by the name of Glenn Cunningham. Glenn has no idea how the tape got to Nigeria. So Matthias writes him. Took 3 months to get the letter. He wrote him back and explained some things to him. Glenn's best friend at that time was Jody Brown. Jody Brown had a dream. Jody Brown had a dream that he wanted to go on a mission trip. So at the Arkansas youth camp that year, they took up a collection. And they had just enough money to get Jody Brown to Nigeria to see this guy that wanted to have questions about Jesus Christ, about Bible doctrine. So Gene and Jody go over. Jody's specialty is, I don't know how many of you know Jody, but Jody Brown, his best quality is he's a bloodhound. He finds out somebody needs the gospel. And he'll go across three oceans, a desert of glass, crawling on his knees, but he's going to get there, and he's going to present the gospel. That was what Jody did. And that's what he did. He went over to Nigeria. He taught Matthias. It was just one time. So now what do you do? Matthias has got a fourth grade education. So he's not like us. I mean, I don't want to do that. That's wrong. I better not go there. We've got education. And we've got everything available. If I don't like the way this Bible reads, I can buy another Bible that has a different translation. I can buy a lexicon. I can go on the internet. I can do all that because I'm in America. Well, they don't have that availability. Number one, they don't have Bibles. So, you know, how are you going to get Bible doctrine in your soul if you don't have access to a Bible, if you don't have access to training? That's where we come in. What's good about Romans 6:17? What do we do with that form? What do we do with that form of Bible teaching that we have? We try to replicate it. How do you do it? Did that make anybody sick? Okay, here's Matthias in Nigeria. He lives in the jungle. He lives in a small town on a dirt road. They don't have very much. Don't have electricity. He used a generator to have electricity. But he wanted to learn about Bible doctrine. How could we not give it to him if he wants to learn? My gosh, Bob would do that. I mean, he opened his church up and he says, anybody come in? Anybody who wants to come in can learn Bible doctrine from that man right there. So we thought, that's what we want to do. We want to be able to use what we've learned as a student of Bible doctrine, what the Bible says, go and teach others. And we want to use that to teach others. Now, what was the background of these people? If you go into the jungle, their other religion is, are you ready for this? Devil worship. Pure and simple, devil worship. You know, we're refined. We're Americans. We're refined. We don't have devil worship. We have that brand new car that everybody likes. Oh, those new clothes we like. Oh, that nice four-bedroom house that we like. We've got our own idol worship. But they seriously, seriously worship the devil. So how do you go in there and teach that? Well, what we did, VMI has written a book called Foundations, and I'll talk about that later. But the foundation book is written on a fourth grade level with nothing but everything we've gathered from Bible doctrine teachers all over. We put it together into a book. The book talks about how to study this Bible right here. First thing you have to do, know who Jesus Christ is as personal Savior. Second thing, learn to pray. Learn what's in this Bible. So, but if you don't have a Bible, how do you do that? So we started providing Bibles. And we started providing training aids. Because those people worship the devil. They have a place about 10 kilometers from Matthias' house, that big hill. And that's where all the devil worshipers go. And I actually was with Matthias, and he turned white, for lack of a better terminology, when he talked about it. He was scared to death of that place because it's scary. It's real. They go up, they worship the devil. And he said, one of these days I need to get the courage to go up. We need to pray, go up, tell them about Jesus Christ. And they've done that. They didn't get killed. God honored their prayers. They went up and they taught about Jesus Christ. Because what we did, we replicated it. We had individuals go over. Much like what Bob did when he went to the Philippines. Hugh Crowder is one of those people who has gone to Nigeria. When Hugh first went, I think I can tell this story with... He was teaching them how to teach in front of people. And here's the way they thought they should be teaching. Praise the Lord. I don't know anything about the Bible. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The louder you get, the more you say praise the Lord or hallelujah. Hallelujah. Then that's supposed to be edifying to people. So that's where we entered. We entered into that arena knowing that those people had nothing. And how do you get them to a point so that they do know something? And so that's, we continued to teach, and we continued to teach. And now you see, he's got 28 pastors work for him, 35 churches. Those individuals know Bible doctrine now. Why? Because we took the same principles. What's a principle? Okay, we have to know who Jesus Christ is as personal Savior. We have to learn how to pray. One of the principles that in Bible doctrine we always learn is, who's it written to? What's the verse written about? Who's it written for? Who, what, when, why, how? Do we take the commandment that Abraham received, take your son up onto the mountain and sacrifice him? How many of you have taken your son up to sacrifice him? Oh. So it's not written to us. So we've got to know how, who's written to, who's written for, why that is written. So that's one of the things we try to teach is the who, what, when, why, how. Another thing, it's like what Hugh was talking about yesterday. What's the context of this? What's the context of this verse? So Romans 6:17 doesn't sit isolated by itself. There are lots of verses that relate to that. There's verses immediately previous to it, immediately after it, as Hugh showed last night. I mean, I think we went through, 8-10 verses right around Romans 6:17 that all are applicable. And there's other verses in other parts of the Bible, because as Ralph said, guess what? There's only 66 books in the Bible, but they all wrap it all up together. Starts in Genesis and ends up in Revelation. And guess what? It all talks about, hey, we've got a God. He created this world. Oh, we messed it up and we sinned. So then the rest of the Old Testament talks about, hey, there's going to be a Savior come. There's going to be a Savior come. There's going to be a Savior come. Every book talks about that. Get to the New Testament. Oh, he's here. He's here. And then Revelation talks about, hey, what's going to happen? It covers before and after we're here. That's what we try to do when we go overseas and we try to talk to people. We try to be consistent. We try to give them Bible doctrine so that they can replicate it, so that they can tell other people about it. Because once you teach a person how to read, once you allow them to read this book, then they're going to learn. So we try to teach them how to learn using this book right here. We've given over 35,000 Bibles away, because we want in various languages, because we want people to be able to study the Word of God, because they don't have the availability to buy a Bible like you and I do. Next place we are going to go to is Nicaragua. Here we've got it looks like a white guy. Now, everything that we've done in VMI, we usually go overseas and we find a pastor that's interested in studying Bible doctrine. He knows the language. He knows the customs. And we can then train him. But in this case, this was an existing pastor. In fact, he was in Oklahoma City. And he came to me and said, I want to go on a mission trip, Bob. And I said, great. Where do you want to go? Wherever you need me to go. So he went to Nicaragua. And he came back and he said, Bob, he said, man, that was great. He said, can I go next year? Yeah, you bet. Oh, that's only wait next year. Go in the fall. So he went the second time. He came back and he said, Bob, that's awesome. He says, I think I want to be a missionary. I said, you're a pastor. You can't do that. So he went the third time. And he came back and he said, Bob, he says, I'm going to quit being a pastor. I said, no, you're not. I said, let me talk to your wife. And he says, it's too important. He says, I've got to go down there. I've got to teach them Bible doctrine down there in Nicaragua. So I got Rusty in the office. I didn't have Mark there, by the way, just Rusty. And I says, Rusty, I says, do you know that, I mean, I love Mark, but, you know, he's gone on 3 mission trips. But he wants to give up being a pastor and go to Nicaragua. She says, and tears started running down her eyes. I thought, oh, great, Bob. Now you've stepped right in the middle of it. She says, when I was a little girl, I dreamed and I prayed that I'd be a missionary's wife. She says, I never told anybody. I never told Mark. She says, this is my opportunity. He walked into his church. He says, I'm sorry. There are 2 other Bible doctrinal churches close that you can attend. But I have been called to be a missionary. And he and Rusty moved to Nicaragua. What do they do down there? Okay, in Nicaragua, okay, remember in Nigeria we had devil worshippers. In Nicaragua, what do we have? Oh, a whole bunch of Catholic-oriented people. Maybe not Catholic, but Catholic-oriented people. That's what Nicaragua is. So he had to teach Bible doctrine to Catholic-thinking people. Does it work? Well, yes, it does. What's amazing is that Bible doctrine, when you teach it, works in any arena. Isn't that phenomenal how God does that? I mean, we think we've got a lock on it. We think we, oh yeah, hey, you know, we're pretty good. I think John was the one who said, hey, yeah, we're pretty cocky. We're pretty cocky. You know, we're all Bible doctrine students, and we all, we're pretty good. But you can take it and present it to a Catholic Orthodox people who are very ritual oriented. Teach them verse by verse. And you know what happens? Wow. They get it. The lights come on. The lights come on and, oh, yeah, they get saved. Huh. Pretty phenomenal. So it'll work with people who think the devil is the thing. It'll work with people who are Catholic oriented. AJ, baseball player. I may have to call the lefty in here pretty soon. Baseball player. What do? We go down and we do a baseball camp. Why do we do a baseball camp? Oh. AJ goes down. He may teach him some baseball. But you know what? Do you do it before or after the practice? Always have after. After every practice, guess what? You study the Bible. You study Bible doctrine. Huh. So you're 13 years old, you're getting to play baseball with some guy who's pretty good, went to college on a scholarship, okay? They teach him baseball. They teach him about Jesus Christ. So it works. Whether it's a little bitty tape like this or a baseball, God will use you. That's what's neat. That's what I find is totally mind-boggling to me, is that God uses me, so he can use anybody. So that he uses us with our frailties, with our sin nature. He can use all of us. Use our talents. You don't have to be John. You don't have to be Hugh. You don't have to be Emil. You don't have to be Bob. You don't have to be Ralph. Be you. As long as your feet reach all the way to the ground, God will use you. That's for those people who think, oh, I wish I were taller. I wish I were better looking. I wish I had more hair. I wish I, whatever. But as long as your feet reach the ground, you've got a breath, God can use you. Ghana, what a faithful man. James Owusu has 8 children. They've all come to the United States and studied. Doctors, pharmacists, doctors, pretty smart group of people. In Ghana, what you have is you have people who view God as a good luck symbol. I was amazed. I get to Ghana and the first thing I see is the Praise the Lord massage parlor. Praise the Lord Fiat. Praise the Lord. God is real. Grocery store. Everything. Everything had that on it. I thought, what are we doing here? We don't have to evangelize. They're already evangelized. They had no clue. They had no clue what that meant. It said it on their grocery store. It said it on their car. It said it wherever. But they had no idea what that meant. So what did we do? You're right. We started teaching. One day at a time. One precept at a time. One verse at a time. And guess what happened? People started getting it. People started understanding that I do need to study. I do need to know what's in this book. I can live what's in this book. I'll tell you a sad story. A man went over And he used the Bible and he said, it says in my Bible that David was a man of God. And he said, it says in my Bible that David had an affair with Bathsheba. And so, as a man of God, I can have an affair with anybody I want. Wow. So, know who, what, when, why, how, that Bible verse. What's the context of it? Yes, he was the man of God. Not because he had an affair with Bathsheba. He's a man of God because of his humbleness after he had that affair. He realized he really was in a world of hurts. He needed his God. So that's what we had to teach. We had to teach those people because they already knew that Jesus Christ lives. They already knew that God lives. They already knew that Jesus saves. They had that on written all over. They saw it every day. But we put meaning to it. We put verses to it. One of the things we try to do, and we don't do this in the United States, and I think this is my personal belief, is it's one of our fallacies. We don't teach people to memorize verses. What happens if they take this book away from you? What happens if they take every Bible in your house away from you? Are you still going to be able to regurgitate 1 John 1:9? John 3:16? Whoops, now where am I? Anything else that we know? Wow. At my church, we're going through a memorization drill, and everybody says, oh, I'm too old to do that, Bob. What? Too old to memorize Bible verses? If it's important to you, you can memorize. Ralph's almost 80. Have you memorized a new verse this week, Ralph?
Have I memorized a new verse? My wife has been trying to get me to.
Yes, sir. Well, thank you, Dorothy. All right. Work on him. Work on him, Dorothy. But think about it. What happens when we lose our Bible? What happens when somebody comes in and takes our Bible away from us? What are we going to do? We better put it in our brain cells so we can regurgitate that. Then when we're sitting in that jail cell, we can tell other people about Jesus Christ. And he's always going to be with us, and he'll always take care of us. He'll never forsake us. But that's what we did in Ghana. Because they already knew who Jesus Christ is. Someone had come in and said, if you post this sign, you're good to go. It's not true. We've got to have some substance behind that. That's the reason men like the men who are sitting in this room and teaching, that's the reason they teach. So they can teach us, instruct us, let us know what's in this Bible and how to get it out of there so that then we can use it. Kenya, these two guys, we don't support all the time, but we support when money comes in. Peter Sim was in Eldoret, Kenya. Phenomenal guy. And in his words, I live in the slum. Yeah, there's only 1 million people living in that little complex that he lives in. And it's a slum area. Trashiest area. Nasty. But he loves the Lord. The people in Kenya don't know anything. They're not educated. Doesn't mean they're not smart. Not educated. So how do you teach them Bible doctrine? So you go in and you teach them once. It doesn't take. You teach them the second time. It doesn't take. You teach them the third time. It doesn't take. You teach them the fourth time. You keep teaching them. Why? Because it's going to take. We've got to be persistent. We've got to let them know that we love them. We've got to let them know that Jesus Christ died for their sins. We've got to know that this book is the Word of God. And with it, we can live. This is a way of life. But they're very uneducated, very backward, very lovable, very pliable. So fun to go there because you can teach them, and once they start getting it, it's fun to watch their eyes light up. It's fun to watch them. Michael Ture is in Sierra Leone. Same thing. He works with them. He teaches them over and over and over. He stays in contact with us on a regular basis. He stays in contact with Clay Ward. That's how I met Michael, was through Clay down in Tullahoma. Michael thinks that his job is to teach people Bible doctrine so that they'll know how to live, and he uses this book right here to do it. Bob was just telling me last night that he saw this man. Volodya Feldman, one of the most brilliant men I know. We call him the teddy bear. He's with his church members, he is hard as nails on them. Does he give them anything? Yes, and he would give you a shirt off his back. Volodya is a young man that is very brilliant, loves to study the Word of God, and wants to teach others about the Bible. Now, what works in his community? Let me think. Orthodox church, very ritual, very closed society. If you carry a Bible, you're a suspect. Volodya carries a satchel with him about this thick. It has all his papers in it. He gets stopped 3 to 5 times a day. Same police officers. They know him. They know he's got those documents. It's called harassment. We don't have that. We can come in here to Bob Bolander's church and no one harasses us when we walk in the front door or even the side door. Volodya has to plan ahead and know it may take him all day to get to the airport because he's going to get stopped 3 times going to the airport. They take him behind a barricade and do whatever they want to. They have the authority to do whatever they want to. He's fearful of his life all the time. I was in law enforcement. John was in law enforcement. Here's what Volodya asked me one day. We were driving down the street and he says to me, he says, Bobby, he says, what do you think that guy there is for? The guy had a blue uniform on, a gun. He was definitely a police officer. I said, well, he's there to protect you. No. He's there to arrest me. Because at any point, they can arrest Volodya and put him in jail. They don't have to have a reason. Put him in jail. The next day, they ship him to Siberia. Ira gets a note saying, your husband's gone. Period. It's that easy. So he does this. He teaches, knowing that at any moment he could be arrested and taken to Siberia or just killed outright. Why would he be willing to do that? Is Bible doctrine that important that you give your life up for it? Well, yeah, it is. Come think about it. It is. Volodya's got it right. It's worth his life because, you see, he lived in darkness. He wasn't a believer. He lived that life. And then one day, after hearing doctrine being taught by Jody Brown and Steve Dupuy and some other guys, Jerry Bowman, and I'm not sure who all was on that trip, but that was the trip that they went on. And he heard it, and he heard it, and he heard it, and he heard it. Finally, it clicked. And he went home, and he told Mr. Ira, I know who Jesus Christ is as my personal Savior. Ira immediately wanted a part of that action too. She wanted to become a believer. So she did. Oh, it didn't stop there. Sasha, their son, could see the difference in his dad. I want what you have, Dad. So, you know, here Volodya is, within the first week that he's a believer, he tells two other people about Jesus Christ and how they need to have him as their personal Savior. Knowing that that can cause him to get killed, his wife to get killed, and his son to get killed. But it's worth it to him. Are we that tenacious? Would we do that? Would we, knowing that the authorities are going to come and get us, knowing that the authorities can arrest us, can just throw us away, are we willing to put our life on the line? I think there's some people in this room that are, or I wouldn't be here. So knowing that the baseball guys can go to Nicaragua, they don't know baseball in Belarus. We did a summer camp. This summer camp, you'll notice everybody's in blue. It was during the Olympics. We took shirts over, made shirts and looked like Olympic rings, and we did all kinds of summer camp stuff, taught the gospel. Who can go over there? Who can teach? Oh, let me think. Okay, I need to tell you this really funny story. I was setting up the team, and this lady called me. She says, I had been to their church, and she says, I really want to go to Belarus. But Bob, I'm 70 years old. Okay. And so we're going through the process, and I said, well, I called her up, and I said, well, I need your passport, and I'm going to send you some documents, and you just need to sign them, and I'll get the visa, and I'll get the passport for you, but we're going to go to Belarus. But Bob, I'm 70 years old. And the day that I got the passport back, I called her up, and I said, Beverly, I says, got your passport, we're ready to go, we're going to leave on whatever day. And she said, well, I just need to tell you that I'm 70 years old. I says, so what's being 70 have to do with it? She says, well, I was told when you're 70, you can't go overseas and be a missionary. I said, so you're telling me that you're a Sunday school teacher, you work at the high school, you are very active. I said, get over it. You're 70, big deal. So we go. And we're doing this camp. At the end of camp, I thought, okay, I'm going to do something. All you kids, take a piece of paper and write down who your favorite American counselor is for these 2 weeks. Okay, now, I'm the CEO of VMI. They're going to write my name down. Yeah, uh-huh. Huh, John? Did your wife really say that to you? I can hear her saying that. So, sure enough, we get him back. Beverly got 70 letters saying she was the favorite. I was the CEO at the time. I got two. I went to Beverly and I said, Beverly, don't you ever tell me you're too old. What she did, she had love in her heart. She had been taught Bible doctrine for 30 years. It was in her soul, and she lived it. She lived Bible doctrine. And those kids understood it. They loved her. Consequently, she got all these letters. Those are now hanging in on her wall. She's only 83 now, but that's okay. You know, she is a really neat lady, but she had the misconception that she was too old. So how old is too old? Well, 80 must not be too old because Ralph's still working. My gosh, you know? So how many here are older than Ralph? Nobody. So we've got to keep working. No doubt about it. India. Went to India and we found a young man who was a drug addict. Womanizer. Drank a lot of alcohol. But he had one thing going for him. He had a mama and daddy. And I don't know how this happened because in India, they have over 1,000 gods. But his mom and dad prayed for him. And one night he came back from one of his drunken brawls. And he woke up just enough to hear his mom and dad downstairs praying. Please, save my son. Please, save my son. Sola became a believer. And he said he would devote his life to Christ. The man sleeps 2 hours, and then he's on the go again. Loves to teach. AJ's going to go over there in a couple weeks and go to graduation. What kind of graduation is it? Well, you can see here, we went to a graduation, Charlie and I, and people who have gone through 2 years of intense training, just like what you do, Bob. 2 years of intense training. Then they go out, and they find out what the real world is like. It's safe in this training center that we built. When we first built this training center, when we first bought the land, I got a little bit upset with Solo. He told me he borrowed the money for it. And I said, number one, we don't borrow money. If God wants to do something, he'll provide. Well, after chastising him, I came home. There was a check in the mail for the training center. I guess God knew more than I did. So we built the training center. Pastors come in, they get trained. They get trained how to study the Bible. Most of the guys have been beaten. Most of the guys have been persecuted because they're Christians. Lord Garnish doesn't have anything on them. Hindu faith doesn't have anything on them. They believe in Jesus Christ. They believe in God the Father. And they want to tell others. And they're willing to give up their life for that. Because that's the way it is over there. But Bible doctrine works in those countries. Even where there's 1,000 gods. So what we found, Pastor Bob, is that Bible doctrine, we think it's just a thing that we've kind of inherited and we've done and we're really cool because we do it. But it's something that you can replicate. It's something that you can spread. You can use, let's see, where there's devil worship, where there's Catholics, where there's 1,000 gods, where there's signs all over saying, hey, Jesus lives. You can use it wherever. It can be used. The good part is Bible doctrine can be used, and God will allow us to use that wherever we're willing to take it. So we have to put the leather on our shoes and do it. Sri Lanka. Mossy. Anybody want to go on a race? The fastest runner in all of Sri Lanka when he was 18 years old. Did he get to go to the Olympics? Nope. Why? Because he's a Tamil tiger. Sinhalese rule the country. Didn't make any difference that he was a Tamil tiger. He couldn't run, even though he was fastest. Very segregated society. Two very different. The tigers are second class. The Sinhalese are first class. Buddha. Buddha is the big thing. Buddha. It's raining. Got there during the raining season. They were loading up Buddha, moving Buddha to higher ground so Buddha wouldn't get wet. I laughed and said, my God is the one who brought the rain. Sorry. Even in a country where Buddha is taught, you think Bible doctrine can be used there? Yeah. Yeah. What do you have to teach? Oh, that's right. Teach the Bible. Verse by verse. Line by line. It's so fun to see that. It makes going on a mission trip fun. Burma. Poorest country I've ever been in. If you're seen with the Bible, you will get put in jail. But only for a year. Life expectancy in a Burmese jail, 6 months. It's a death sentence. Timothy says, but it's only for a year. They're not afraid because they've been told that God will take care of them. They've been taught that God will take care of them. And I don't know how, this is a God thing. The border school, border church, it's a God thing. You're in Burma. The government hates Americans. The minute you hit in the airport, you are followed 100% of the time. 100% of the time, so they can see who you're talking to. They usually don't mess with us because we're Americans, but guaranteed, when we leave, every house we've been at gets searched by the authorities. Every house. But yet, in the very northern part of the country, there's a little pocket about 5 square kilometers that is open to teaching Bible doctrine. So we've put a school in there. And Chinese men come across the border on foot, and they go back across the border on foot. Timothy walks. For me to see Timothy, he has to walk 3 days. Walk 3 days, get on a bus, ride for 2 days, get on a train, come another day, then you can see me. I don't know if any of you know, in Burma they've got gold mines. Those are protected by the government. They won't let Americans even up there. So you can't go up that direction. So they have to come down. They have to walk through that. And it's not a trail like we have on our sidewalks to get to us. And why? Why do they do that? So they can get trained. A normal day for them is when we're there, let's start at 8. We'll teach from 8 to 8 at night. As soon as we're done teaching, Timothy and a couple other men will come to the hotel room and beg us, can you teach us more doctrine? Can you teach us one more doctrine? One more, just please, one more tonight. Then I'll leave you alone. Next night, same thing. Because they want to know what the Bible says. They want to know how to better live the Bible. Billy looks like a white guy also. My gosh. Billy was an accountant in Birmingham, Alabama. Married a Filipino girl and says, I'm going back as a missionary. So he was trained by Ron Adema in Ron's school and left here. 3 days after he got to the Philippines, he was teaching a class, and he hasn't stopped since. What's he teach? Oh, a little bit of Hebrew, a little bit of Greek, a little bit of Bible doctrine, every day, all day, every day, all day. How many days? Every day, all day. Billy is a dynamo. He's like the Energizer Bunny. Never winds down. Every day, all day. That's what he does. Why? Because it's important. If he doesn't, how are they going to get the message? And if he doesn't do it today, when will they get the message? So for him, it's paramount. He has to do it all day, every day. Kind of like, I liked what Ralph said. 15 hours a day. Our teachers teach 15 hours a week. You know, Ralph's teaching 15 hours a week. Billy teaches 80. Because that's all they've got. Also in the Philippines is my good friend Ralph LaRosa, Ralph and Cindy. Wonderful, wonderful people. And what's Ralph teach down in Luzerne City? Yeah, he teaches Bible doctrine. What's he use? Ralphie, he's crazy. People won't come to his church. They won't come to his church. So you know what he did? Ralph says, they won't come to my church. Okay, I know what I'll do. I'll start a Tybo class. Gets 500 people in his church to take a Tybo class. And guess what? He gives them the gospel. Guess what? They get saved. Guess what? They want to come to church. I mean, Ralph is crazy. He loves it. That's what it takes. It takes a desire. It takes a willingness to give up everything to teach. Because the Philippines, what's their religion? Yeah, Catholic. Catholic Orthodox. So a lot of formality, a lot of rituals that Ralph and Billy have to fight against. But can Bible doctrine overcome that? Yeah. Yeah, it does. Every time. Every time. Publications that we've done are, oh, that's right. It all starts with what? The Holy Bible. Okay, I want to challenge you guys. Dorothy, how many times you read the Bible through this year?
Two so far.
Two so far? Okay, we can't let Dorothy outdo us. Let's go for one time this year. Just for fun. Just for fun. In addition to your regular studies, let's just read the Bible through one time this year. One time. You'll be amazed, won't they, Dorothy? Every time I read the Bible through, I find something new in it that I did. It's like, I know I've read that verse before, but I get it. I get it. I'm a little bit thick-skulled, but I get it. Try reading it through this year. While my wife was sick, that was one of the things that helped her through. We would sit up at night. We'd sit during the day. And we'd read the Bible. Over and over. We've given 35,000 of those out, and it's projected we're going to give probably 60,000 out this year or in the next 12 months. Essentials is a small book that we just put together. It's got chapter 1 and chapter 4 of the Foundations book. People didn't want the big, thick Foundation book, so they've got the little bitty thin Essentials book. Very helpful for pastors to just learn some basics so that they can start teaching. Foundations, we've got it in over 20 languages, and we've sent it out, given out over 100,000 of those now, free. And all it is just a book to know how to study this book. Pretty simple. Where's it gone? Where the red is. Trying to reach the whole world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Made friends with a guy named Steve Waterhouse who wrote Not But Bread Alone. It's just a systematic theology book. Pretty neat. We've got it translated into Spanish and, is it Tagalog? Okay, it's not in Tagalog yet? Okay. But again, it's a systematic theology book. It's a little bit more in-depth than the Foundation book. Anybody know those? What's it say on the front? Or what's it say on the back then? Where will you spend eternity? And then what's it say on the back? Dr. Crowder. Huh. That he gave his only begotten son. Okay. Well, memorize it. John 3:16, Hugh. Gosh, what are we doing with him, Bob? Bird has put together enough of these coins to cover 2 747s aluminum. Okay? It's a lot of coins. What are we supposed to do? Go. Through all this, I've talked about different things, how doctrine can be used, whether it can be used in a Satan-oriented society, Catholic society, a polytheistic society, whatever. It can be used. As long as we're diligent, as long as we study, as long as we teach. May have to teach it again. And may have to be like Dorothy and read that Bible twice this year. But try reading it just once. And the other challenge I want to leave you with. I shouldn't do this, but I will. Before we get together next time, 5 verses. 5 new verses. Don't go with those old ones. I know you guys know 1 John 1. I know you know John 3:16. Even Hugh knows John 3:16. 5 verses, that's nothing. That's nothing. Try to memorize 5 verses that mean something to you. You'll be amazed at how those verses will come popping back up into your brain cells, just like Bible doctrine comes regurgitating back out of your soul. Just bam. Where'd that come from? You get it because God gives it to you. God gives you that ability to memorize those verses. Why? Because we're going to need them. Look at our society. Think about our society. Could it collapse? Yeah. Could you and I be the minority? Yeah. Could they take away our Bibles? You bet. What are we going to do then? Have it memorized. I'm not saying memorize the whole book. Just, I challenge you. 5 small verses. And then try just reading the Bible through. Just for fun. You'll be amazed. I promise you. God will bless you while you're doing that. I promise you. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Thank you for being in control. Thank you for allowing us the freedom to be here. Such an honor to be in this pulpit with Pastor Bob. And thank you for this church that they give so much. They give so much so that they can we can have this conference. And we thank you for that. We thank you for what you're doing, what you're going to do in the future. Help us, God, to not only read the Bible, but to memorize portions of it, so that next time when we get together, we can say, hey, I know 5 verses. I know 10 verses. It's not a show about who can do what, but just help us to learn those verses that we need so we can get through life. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.